Okay, good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. We're learning today, Lili Nishmas, Abraham Schneier, Abba Ben Chaim. All the Nishmas we learned from Shevet Aliyah. All right, we left off on Mem Omud Beis, about 10, 15 lines up from the bottom at the two dots. In the Mishnah yesterday, it quoted a whole bunch of different foods that you make a shahakol on. So it says, Val Hanovlos, that's what we're up to. We're quoting the Mishnah. The Novlos were one of a group of three. We said vinegar, chometz, we said novlos, which we gave two definitions for in the Mishnah, which we'll see in the Gemara, and the gubai, the locust, all of those you make a shahakol on. So Gemara says, my novlos, what are novlos? What are these fruits that are known as novlos? So we have a machlokis, Rav Zeira v'Riloi, and first of all, you make a shahakol on it, so it's very strange. It's a fruit. So Rav Zeira v'Riloi, they had a machlokes as to what it was. We don't know which one said which. Chadamar, one of the two, said that this is bushle kamra. These are over here, you can see in Rashi, bushle kamra. Rashi's are all the way up, four lines into the Gemara in Rashi, in the Rashi, where Rashi has a Gemara, four lines down. Kimo srufei chama. These are fruits over here that are burnt in the sun. In other words, they're over mature, they're ripened. Shabishleim v'sarfimachom. V'yovshu, utmarimheim. These are various types of dates that are over-ripened, they're out in the sun too long, and they are not really ideal, and that's why they're knocked down from a Bori Priya Eitz to a Shahako. That's one opinion, Bushle Kamra. The Chadamar, the other opinion, the Rosera Riloi, said, Omar, Tamre de Zika. These are wind-blown dates over here. It also agrees that they're dates, and they're blown off the trees, and they're on the ground. So they're not as good, and therefore you make a shock on the Ebedvar. Those are the two opinions, what these novlos are. Tanan. Now, we learned in our Mishnah, Yehudomer, why do you make a shock on these? Koshum in Klola, why do you make any bracha on them? He said, Koshum in Klola, in bracha in love. You don't make a bracha on something that is a klola, something that's not really good. Even though he says you get hanah from it, it's a klola. So you don't make a bracha on a klola. So this works out very well according to the interpretation that these fruits over here are basically over-ripened, destroyed fruits that aren't really good. So then we understand, we understand why he calls them a cursed type of a fruit. But the ones that are blown off the tree, so they're not in a pristine condition. My min klala. Why is that a klala? So why did Rabbi Yehuda call that a klala according to that definition? So Gemara says, no ashaira. He's talking about the others, the gubai or the vinegar. Those are the klalos. This one is not the klala. He was saying that's why you don't make a bracha on those because they're a klala. But he wouldn't say that the opinion that says that it's novlos that are blown off the tree, the dates, those aren't the klala. Alternatively, we have the statement as follows. Ika di amre, bishlam l'man di yomer bushle kamra, makes very good sense according to the man di yomer. It says bushle kamra, that they were over-ripened, not really good. Hainu, the marachin ole shahakol. That's why you make a shahakol. El l'man di yomer, tamri di zika. But according to the man di yomer, it says they're just blown off the tree. Shahakol, bar priyates boile. Why are you making lebruche? Why are you going to make a shahakol on fruits that are blown off the tree? If you find an apple on the ground, nobody says that you make a shahakol on the apple. So you're right, Moore says, that can't be the understanding. This can't be one saying that it's just blown off the tree. Ela benovlos stoma, when it uses the word novlos by itself, without any adjective. Benovlos stoma, kuli amalo pligi, the bushle kamaninu. Everybody agrees. There's no machlokas over here. When you use the term novlos by itself, without adding any other definition to it, any other adjective to it, it means the bushle kamar, the overripened, overmature, not as tasty, not as good, klala-like fruits on the tree. Kipli gave novlos tamra. When they're called novlos tamra, that's what a machlokis is. The Tanan, where we see this, we have a Mishnah Demai. Mishnah Demai is telling us that you don't have to take off trumas and maisus on these following fruits or vegetables over here that are not clear that the Amaratzim took them off. Demai is Dumai. What happened over here? Did they or did they not take off trumas and maisus? There was a time that the Amaratzim said, you know, listen, we're not taking off maisus. That's the ten. A tenth, that's a lot of money, a lot of fruit. We're not taking it off. The truma they took off, but they didn't necessarily take off maisus. Small percentage. The rabbis instituted, if you're buying from an Am Aretz, defined here as somebody that's chashud, that he didn't take off trumas and maisus. So then, you have to re-tithe them. You have to go take off trumas and maisus on your own. This is midi rabbanon, and this is called demai. you have to go and take off over here an additional dirabbanan trumas umaisus on the produce. Now, that was the concern, was because the Amoratzim were going to say, hey, that's 10%, it's a lot of money. But that's only if it's a lot of money. If it's something that's really insignificant in value, even the Amoratzim took it off. There was no concern. You know, people are going to cheat for $1 million. Very few people are going to cheat for a penny, right? You know, people are going to steal, so they steal $1 million. They don't steal a penny. So therefore, there was less of a concern, and therefore, the rabbi said that hakalim shebedemai, the following things in demai that are very light, in other words, they're very inexpensive, and there's no concern that the Amoratzim didn't take off the Trumas Umaisus, you in fact don't have to take retithe Trumas Umaisus from them. You have to take the first time, but there's no concern that the Amoratzim didn't take the first time. What are these? We'll have a whole list of things, which will then explain them all afterwards, so I'll explain them in a moment. Hashisin, Varimin, Vauzardin, Benos Shuach, Benos Shikamor, Vegufnin, Venitzpe, Venovlos Tamra. Oh, that's why this is brought in over here, because these Novlos Tamra. Now, what are these things? So the Shisin, what is the Shisin? That was the first one. I'm Rabbi Baruchana, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Min Te'enim. It's a certain type of Te'enim. That's what the Shisin was, a certain type over here of fig. What are the Rimin? Again, the Bach and the Gro have slightly different discussions over here, what these actually are. So the Gro says over here, should have said Teinei Chavrisa, should have been white types of figs. What are these Rimin over here? The Rimin, first of all, the Bach says over here, these were Teinim, it was Teinim in Barrios, wild Teinim. Okay, what are the Rimin? That's something called Kandi. Kandi is usually translated as lotus. Okay, what are the Huzardin? These are Tulshi, something known as Tulshi. Rashi says it's something known as Kulmashi, which is usually translated as, in the Laz, as Spearling, which is sorb apples. Okay? What are Benos Shuach? I'm Rabbi Baruchana, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Teinei, and here we have the Girsa Chivrisa, but the Gro takes this out and says, okay, it's Min Teinei, a type of Teinim. It's interesting, on the side it says, look at the Tosos in Avodah Zarah. The Tosos there says, Benos Shuach or Benos Sheva. And according to some, this is the source of one of the many sources we have, Durabbanan, that we sit Shiva for 7 days. Because this is the figs, and Chava, when she ate from the Eitz Hadas, gave to Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas, that caused death to come to the world. It was Benos Shuach, which are known as Benos Shiva, and that's one of the allusions, the sources that we have to the concept of Shiva. Okay, beautiful, interesting little Tosus. In any event, then we have Benos Shikamor. What is that? I'm a Rabbi Baruchana, I'm a Yochanan. This is something called Duvle. Okay, a certain type of a sycamore type tree called Duvle. Rashi doesn't give us a definition over here. The Bach over here, the Gra over here says, Tzorech Lomar Te'enei Duvle. These are certain types of figs known as the figs that came from Duvle. And the Bach says over here the same thing, Tena Hamurkeves bi Armon upirish pircha, some sort of a flowering type of a hybrid over here of a date of a fig. Okay. What a gufnin. So this is something called shili. So Rashi explains over here, shili gufni, anovim sisvanios, a certain type of grape. Nitzpe, that's pracha, a certain type of flowering type of plant. This is the nitzpe, what we said yesterday was, the other day was the caper berry. Okay. Then finally, Novlos Tamra. Why do we have this thing over here? Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Zera, this is where they had the machlokas. Hanamar means bush lekamra. These over-matured figs on the tree, dried in the sun. Hanamar, Tamre Dezika. And over here it was the ones that are on the ground, they're worthless. They're relatively worthless. But nothing to do with the bracha. This is where they have the machlokas over here in regards to the din of Demai, which one of them was bush lekamra or is Tamre Dezika. Now, Bishlom Laman the Yom Bush Lekarma, according to one that says overripen, Hainu Diktonia Kalashib Advai. And therefore, Svekenhu Depater, because they're relatively worthless. Implying Svem, I'm sorry, Shib Advai. Shib Svekenhu Depater. It's only in a suffix situation where you didn't know that they took off Trumas and Maestros, so then you don't have to go retide them again. But if they definitely didn't have Trumas and Maestros taken off of them, so then you have to take off Trumas and Maestros. So that works out great. If you say over here, that it's bush lekamra. Eleman diomer tamer dezika. So vadoin chayav. Why would it be chayav? They're blown off the trees. Hefkerin inhu, and hefker is potter from trumas and maisus. So according to the definition, that it's novlos that are blown off the tree. Why would you say that they're chayav in trumas and maisus? You say in a suffix situation they're not chayav. implies in the Vade situation they'd be chayiv. But why in a Vade situation would they be chayiv? The hefker, they're blown off the trees. Where he says, nope, that's not 100% true. That's true that hefker is part of the trumas of maizos, but halachamai askinon, shason gorin, the oni collected them. And now when you collect them and pile them up, they do become chayiv in trumas of maizos. The omer of Yitzchak, the omer of Yochanan, the shum of Elazar ben Yaakov, haleket vashilcha vateyah, shason gorin, if you go and collect them over here, then hukful of maizos, you go put them in a pile, and you make them a little bit like they were harvested from a real field, so then they are chayim trumas ma'isos. Rashi says there's a din d'rabbanan. It looks like it. The man d'chazi, somebody that sees his sova shetuos karkoi. They're going to think that this is a guy that just harvested his crop. He has them all piled up the way they do after they harvested the crop, as opposed to hefker. I got one over here. I put another one over there. He gathered a whole bunch of them together. It looks like it's a crop. So therefore, mid'rabbanan, we said yichayim trumas ma'isos. That's what it's talking about. Yichayim trumas ma'isos mid'rabbanan. Another version, this works out great that the chayiv over here al zvadai, but not chayiv al sofek. Haynu the halacha korilei no lo stama. Awesome korilei tamra. That's why we have two different definitions over, two different usages in the term. In the Mishnah, you call them novlos, and in the brayso over here in from demai in the hakalim shibit demai. So therefore, over there in that Mishnah in demai, we call them Novlos Tamra. We use the additional definition of saying that there's Tamra. So one time we call them Tamra Stam, and one time we call them Novlos Tamra. So we understand that. There's a difference between the two. So one place it means this, one place it means that. Eleman the Yama Bushli Kamra. Nisna Idi Novlos Tamra, or Idi Novlos Tamra. Here we have a question on the opinion that says it's Bushli Kamra. Why are we using two different terms? One time we call it Novlos, and one time we call it Novlos Tamra. Why did you change around? Either use both times novos or both times novos tam. If they mean the same thing, why are you changing the usage of the term? It's a kasha. When we have kasha, it doesn't mean that it's irreconcilable. It means a kasha. The Gemara doesn't want to give us a terutz right now. There are terutz. Okay, then we go back to the Mishnah. If you had many species in front of you, what bracha do you make? So Ula says the machlokes over here is if you have the exact same bracha. That's when you have the hierarchy over here. In that situation, the Rav Yehuda Sovar min shiva odif. You have an apple and a grape. So Rav Yehuda says, take the zayin minim, take the grape and make the bracha first. Rabban Sabe, min chaviv odif. Take the one that's more dear to you. If you want to eat an apple now. Even though you're going to eat both. Again, we're talking about you eating both. But you want to have the apple first, it's more dear to you, so have the apple first, and then you can have the grape. You make one bracha bar p'yates on the apple, and it goes on the grape as well. That's the opinion of Ul over here. He says, that's when the brachas are all the same. They're all bar p'yates. You have a grape and you have over here a potato. So then, he says you can do whatever you want. You're making two brachas. You're making an eitz and you're making adama. There's no reason. You have to make the eitz before the adama. You can make whichever one you want. You want to have the potato first? Have the potato first. You want to have the apple, the grape first? Have the apple, the grape first. Makes no difference. You're allowed to go and eat whichever one you want because you're making two brachas anyway. And there's no adifus over here to one bracha, eitz versus adama. That's according to Ula. We question what Ula said. We have elsewhere a brayse that it says, if you have in front of you a radish and an olive, over here, the tznon is a bar pi adoma, and the zayis is a bar pi eitz. So it says, mevarcha tznon, upotres zayis. You make the bracha on the radish, and you don't make the bracha on the olive. So what's going on? That's strange. Why don't you make a bracha on the olive? Bar pi adoma, bidyevit is poter. If you have a potato in front of you, and you make a bar piyadam on it. Then you have an apple. You make a bar piyates. We don't say, well, I already made a bar piyadam and it's poter the apple. It's only been added that the apple is, if you made by mistake on the apple, bar piyadam, you yotze. You don't make another bracha. So what's going on over here? Shmuel says, the guy is eating radishes. And the radishes have a sharp taste to them, and you want to nullify the taste a little bit, so you put an olive in your mouth afterwards. So the olive isn't really being eaten for the olive. It's totally tofel to the radish. So we have a rule. Tofel, the ikar, you always make the bracha on the ikar, and you don't make a bracha on the tofel. Again, I pointed this out the other day. A person has cereals and milk, right? So you have a bari mimizona cereals, you have Cheerios, and you have milk. So you just make a bari mimizona, so you don't make a shahakol of the milk. Sometimes you're going to pull the spoon up, and it's only going to have milk in it, and it's not going to have any Cheerios in it, you still don't make another bracha. Oh, there's no Cheerios in this one, Shahakal. No. The bracha, the ikker, is the Cheerios. The milk is totally toffle to it. So even if you have the milk by itself. Now, if you take a glass of milk, that's a different story. So I'm at the spoon with the Cheerios, and there's no Cheerios in the spoon. There's just milk. Or you're at the very bottom of the bowl, and you take the last spoon with the milk. You don't make a Shahakal on that. Because it's totally toffle. So over here, too, it's totally toffle. Kumar says, Ihachi.
I'm sorry.
So that becomes another, becomes a little bit more complicated. So when you start adding things, what's the ikka, what's the tuffle? So again, most of the time, if there's a mazonos there, you just make it on the mazonos. So in some of these situations, you're getting into problems. These are deep machokis. So sometimes the eight says, you know, go take an apple and go make a bar piyates on the apple. And then you make the mazonos on the cereals. And, you know, but most of the time in that situation, the fruits are the tuffle and they're not the ikka. But some of these things can get very complicated. So when it says, Ihachi, if this is true, aim a safer. And then keep on reading. You got a problem. So wait a second. You're telling me that it's tuffle and ikar over here. So why do Rav Yehuda say that not only do you not make the bracha on the barpi adama, you just make the bracha on the zayas? That's mimin shiva. Last layla Rav Yehuda, does he not hold? He doesn't hold from this? Someone says, no, maybe he doesn't. You want to tell me that he doesn't? But I'll show you that he does. Everybody holds to this principle. But Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda himself, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in Machmas Known Bohazayis, he himself said this. If the only reason over here that you're having the Zayis is because of its known, so Mevarachah, it's known, the Poltavis is Zayis. So you don't make a bracha. So what's going on over here? Someone says, you're right. La'olam b'tznon ikar askina. We are talking about with its known as the main food over here, and the Zayis is just coming, is toffle to it. So where do Rav Yehuda and the Chacham argue? V'chi pligei, Rav Yehuda the Rabbanan, v'vil zachri say pligei, v'chi suri mechzer Rav Achitani. They're arguing about something else. They're not arguing over here. This was a mistake, the way we set it up. This is the machlokes. They're missing pieces over here. And this is the entire Gemara. We sometimes have chisuri mechzeros over here. I once said a beautiful avart that I heard from our Rebbeim, that chisuri mechzeros are a way to remind ourselves that we shouldn't have been writing all of this down. Torah Baal Peh is supposed to be learned out Peh. No, Niskatnu Adoros. Rebbe said, if you don't do this now, nobody's going to know Gemara anymore. So, Eisla Sash Hashem, if Eru Sor Esecha, so he wrote it down. But he said, we have to put in Chisuri Mechzuras to remind us you're not supposed to always write it down. So that's why we have Chisuri Mechzuras, V'achitani. And this is what it really should have said. This is the way it should have read. Hoyle, Fon, if it's known of the Zayas, if you have in front of you an olive and a radish and an olive, the Baruch had stone upon the Zayas. You make the bracha only a barbi adam on the tznon, and you don't make a bracha on the zayis. Why? Because you're talking here about where the radish was the ikka thing, and the zayis is coming along to just modify the taste a little bit, to get rid of the sharpness. If the tznon is not ikka, you want olives and you want radishes. You're not doing one for the other. So then the Tanakhama says, then everybody agrees that you make a bracha on this one, make a bracha on that one. You can pick whichever one you want because you're making two separate brachas over here, an Adama and an Eitz, and there's no chiv to make it on the Adama, the Eitz before the Adama. That's Ushnei Minim Bi'amo, and by the way, if you have two Minim, two species, Shebiachosem Shavos, they're both Bar Pia Eitz, in that situation, Mavarach Al Eitz and the Shiyirtsa. The Tanakhama says, you can make whichever one you want. There's no precedence to Zayin Minim. You want an apple, so they make the bracha on the apple. And it will be pottering the bracha on the anavim, on the grapes. And here's where Rabbi Yehuda said, Rehuda Omer, no, Mavarach la Zayis. In this situation, you make the bracha on the Zayis. Why? Shazayis min shiva. Because the Zayis comes from the Zayin Minim, Zayis comes from one of the seven Minim. And therefore, the Zayin Minim have a higher status, the more choshev, than an apple. And therefore, you make it preferably. You're gonna, if you eat both, you're planning on eating both. So you make it on the Zayin Minim rather than on the one that's not Zayin Minim and be poter, the non-Zayin Minim, with the bracha on the Zayin Minim because that's more chashuk. That's the machlokus over here. That's the way you have to learn this machlokus. Now, pligibor, Rav Ami, Rav Yitzchak, Nafcha. We have a machlokus between Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak, Nafcha. Again, we don't know which one said which. Chad Amar machlokus. One said exactly the way we just learned it now. We're just going to reiterate this now. One says exactly the way we just said it, Bishur Bechosem Shavos. But the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Chacham is when the bracha is the same. Two bar peyates is an apple and a grape. The Rav Yehuda saw about min shiva adit. Rav Yehuda holds you make it bedavka on the grape because that's from the zayin minim. The Rabban Sabri min chaviv adit. No, you make whichever one you want. How you define chaviv is interesting. Some posim say it's what you always say is chaviv, and not what you say right now is chaviv. But I think the more accepted way is it's the one you want to eat right now. So that's the one you can make and pata the other one. However, If there are two different brachas, they're not domin and eights. So then the Tana Kama says, you're going to make a bracha on an eight. You're going to make a bracha on the Adama. Eights isn't higher than Adama. They're two different brachas. You make whichever one you want. That's the version of one of these two, either Rav Ami or Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. We don't know which one. And that's exactly analogous to what we said over here, the Chisurim Echsev HaHachik Tani. Those two are identical. Now we have a different opinion. V'chadamar, either again, Rav Ami or Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, we don't know which one, said no. Af b'she'en b'chosem shavos, even if you have an eitz and a ha'adama, nami machlokis, that Rav Yehuda and Chacham have the same machlokis. Which one is more adif? Chacham say, pick whichever one you want. You like the potato? Have the potato first, and then have the apple afterwards. And Rav Yehuda says, you make it on the higher bracha, which is Bari Bri Eitz, versus the Bari Bri Adama. Oh, so this machlokis works by both of them. Not only two Bari Bri Eitzes, but even by Bari Bri Eitz and a Bari Bri Adama.
Now, would only say on the Shivas Minim you do it? Would he say even on Eitz in general over Adama, according to this?
So according to this second version, Eitz would go ahead of Adama.
Even if not Shivas Minim.
Yeah. Eitz goes ahead of Adama, even if it's not Shivas Aminim. Certainly, if it's Shivas Aminim. But even if it's not, an apple and a potato, that's why I certainly use those. Apple and potato, the Chacham say, no difference, make whichever one you want. You can make two brachas anyway. And Rav Yehuda says, no, you make the Eitz first, and then you make the Adama. So the Machlokes goes on both. Two Eitzes, an apple and a grape, same Machlokes as an apple and a potato. That's the second version.
You know, Rabbi, if you have a big salad, where you can make Oleit, Adama, Shahada.
So again, all these are very complicated shilas. I don't want to get into the halach lemaisa too much right now. In some situations, it's an ikar and a tafel situation. In some situations, you have to make two brachas.
So you actually have to pick out...
Sometimes there are eitzes that you should go make a separate bracha on an eitz first, and then make a separate bracha. In other situations, no, which is the ikar? If the ikar is the salad, so then if there's a raisin or two thrown in over there, so that's really not the ikar, so then you make it on the ikar. Again, these are very complicated halacha l'maaseh shalos. We don't have time. I wish we could get into it right now. Yeah.
What about the whole concept of unnecessary brachas? If you have the rash
that's why we're very careful. That's why you make the bracha on the ikar and not on the tafel. It's an unnecessary bracha. It's a bracha shein etzricha. If you take the last scoop of milk and you make a shahakal on that. But so you're not allowed to do that.
Let's say the radish is the
ikar.
It's the ikar. You make an adama. Why wouldn't that cover the olive? It should cover the olive.
So again, you're not allowed to make adama l'chatchila. I said, let's say a person has in front of him an apple and a potato, and he's going to eat them separately. So you can't say, well, I just made the barpi adama on the potato, so bid the evid, that's the yotze of the apple. Even if you do that l'chatchila, you don't do that. Even if you say you're going to do that, you don't do that. Because the Bari Bri Adama is only bid the Yevid does it work on the apple, not l'chatchila. Okay, now we have the second version over here. We have the first version and the second version. First version we had twice. Second version we only had once. Bishlomo man diyoma shebichosem shavos machlokes. According to the first version, that the only time they have the machlokes is if it's the same apple and grape, same bracha, Bari Bri Eitz. So then, shapir, that works out very well. According to the second version, that they're even arguing about an eitz versus adama. So, but my pligi, what are they arguing about over here? So Gemara says, which one should go first? I already gave you the answer. As to, there's a hierarchy. Eitz is a higher bracha than adama, and therefore the eitz takes precedence. And what's this based upon? Rabbi Yosef, Yitzchak, Yitzchak, Kol ha-mukdom b'pasuk zeh mukdom l'bracha. There's a famous pasuk, Shenema, it says in this pasuk, the seven minim. Eretz, number one, says Eretz. Then it says Chita, that's species number one. Soris, species number two. Geffen, species number three. Right? Wheat, barley, grapes. Vitaina, figs, that's number four. Rimon, pomegranates, it's number five. Then notice it says Eretz again, which is totally unnecessary, which is therefore very necessary. No such thing as an unnecessary word of the pasuk. And then it says number six, but number one, from the second time it says Eretz. Eretz, shemen, zeis shemen, olives, udvash. Dvash doesn't mean bee honey. Dvash only means date honey. So dvash is a fancy way of saying dates. So those are the seven minim. And therefore, the order in the pasuk tells you which bracha has precedence. So wheat takes precedence to barley, which takes precedence to vines. Now, that's the simple understanding. We're going to refine this in a moment. So this is over here, the opinion that says a higher level bracha takes precedence. So this is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. It says a Bari Pri Eitz is a higher level bracha than a non-Bari Pri Eitz, than an Adama or a Shahakal. That's this interpretation. But not everybody agrees that this is the way you dash in this pasuk. We just dash in this pasuk is telling us kedima, precedence, hierarchy. But Rupligi, Rav Chanan disagrees. Zemar Rav Chanan, kol pasuk kula l'shiurin emar. This pasuk is, as we'll see, it's an asmachta ultimately. But right now we're suggesting that this is really drashos d'araisa, and that this pasuk is coming to teach us various shiurim throughout Shas, which are l'shiurim. Nemar chita, the chita, what's the shiur for chita, ditnan. Some of these, again, it's a nice quick review of the various dinim and shas. We don't have time to go into them in detail. I'll just quickly say them. Ha-nichles al-deis ha-menuga. If somebody is going into a house that has tsaras, houses can have tsaras too. And you become tameh as a mitzora when you go into a house that has tsaras. Now, you go into this house, anything that you're carrying, the kalev al-ksefa, you're not wearing it, you're carrying your jacket, the sandal, you're carrying your shoes, the tabosev, you're carrying your rings, biyodo, you're not wearing them. So then, hu v'hein tamei miyad. The minute you enter into the house, you and they are tamei. However, are you lovish Caleb? You're wearing your jacket, the sandal, you're wearing your shoes, baraglov, the tabosav yasbosav, and you're wearing your rings. So then, hu tamei miyad? The minute you go, and then you become menuga, you're tamei. But your clothing remains tar. Anything you're wearing remains tar until you stay there for a certain amount of time. V'hein tahorim ad sheyishoya b'chdei achilas pras. Until you stay there long enough time to eat a Kidei achilas pras, a certain amount of food. We won't go into the details how much food this is. It's a certain amount of food. So you eat this certain amount of food, and then your clothing becomes tamei as well. Okay, Rashi tells us achilas pras is chatzi kikar shishir bo chachamim meso eruv. This is a certain amount that you have to put aside for an eruv chatzeros. That's called a pras. Okay, so that's Mazon shtei sudas, Rashi says, v'chetz of mazon sudacha. So it's the amount of time it takes you to eat a meal. Now, how much time is that? Well, doesn't that depend on the meal, right? You can eat certain foods faster, you can eat other foods. Certain positions, you can eat faster than other positions. So the gold rule of thumb is it's talking about pas chitin. This year of kidei achilas pras deals with eating wheat bread below pasor, not barley bread. Barley bread has more impurities in it, takes longer to chew, to eat. Mesav, while you're reclining, which is a more comfortable way to eat. Not for us, maybe, but that was a more comfortable way for them to eat. And therefore, you could eat faster. V'ochlin b'lifton, and you eat it with a spread. It's going to go down faster and better when it has a spread on it. So therefore, that's the shear of kidei achilas pras. And that's why you need the pasachita to teach me this din. There's a ton of things to say about kidei achilas pras, how long it actually is, what does it apply to, is it one shear across the board, or does it depend on the pool that you're eating? Many, 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 many halach lemaisa questions on this. For now, we'll just say it's basically a shear of somewhere between 2, some say 4 minutes, some say 6 minutes, some say 9 minutes. So somewhere between 2 and 9 minutes, if you go to the minimum and maximum shear for kidei achilas pras. This has huge halach lemaisa ramifications for any mitzvah, or bracha that you have to do, a bracha achroni, you have to eat it, kidei achilas pras. If you eat a crouton now, a crouton an hour from now, and you ate a kezias, you don't bench, because you didn't eat a kidei achilas pras. You have to eat it within a certain amount of time, within a 2 to 9 minute period of time. Matzah and Pesach, all the things that you have shiurim for, this kidei achilas pras is critical. So it's measured, according to this, based upon wheat bread, not barley bread, in a reclining position with some sort of a spread on it, to make it go down faster and better. That's the shear. That's why you need the pasuk chita. Sora, why do you need sora? Ditnan. In Alos, it tells us, etzem kitsora. A human bone is metame if it's the size of an etzem kitsora. Has to be recognizable. The Mepharshim bring down, it's recognizable as a human bone if it's the size of an etzem kitsora, like a barley corn seed. If it's smaller than that, it's not recognizable, and therefore, it is not going to be metame over here. Okay. Next. And the tumah that it has is only going to be mitame magumas. It's not going to be mitame in an oil. For an oil, you need a different level of tumas adam. Okay. Gefen, the vine, what's that for? Kedei revius yayin, the nazir. A nazir, when he eats a certain amount of the chartzanim and zogim, the skins and the pits. So you have to measure that out based upon how much water or wine it displaces. So the din is how much wine it displaces. Right, Archimedes' principle. You put you have a certain amount of water over here, or wine, as we'll see, and you put the zogim and the chartzanim, the seeds and the skins in there. How much does it displace? When it displaces a revius, so then you ate the shear that you'd be chayav for over here. You're not allowed to eat even a chatzis shear, but This is the shear that you'd be chayiv for if you ate that for malchus. Now, water is less viscous than wine. Wine is a thicker material. You ever fill up a cup of wine, you can get it going over the lip of the cup and it doesn't pour off the side. Water falls right off the side. Right? When you get to the lip, the water doesn't have the same viscosity. So the shear, when you're measuring out the zogin and chayitzanim for a revius of wine will be slightly larger than the amount for a revius of water. So he's telling us, when you're measuring out the shear, you have to use wine over here to see do you have a shear of the zogim and the chayitzanim versus a shear of water, the same amount of displacement. The water will be displaced a little bit less than the wine because the wine holds on to the lip and it will hug it. So these are shiurim. We'll see in the end. These are all halachos Moshe Mitzrayim, hilchos aninu, and therefore that's not really the pasuk, but this pasuk is an allusion to it. That would be the way the other man, the Yomer, explains this. But right now we're saying this is the source in the pasuk. Teina, the figs. What is that's a shiur for? Kigur geris. Let's start Shabbos. And you eat. When you carry food on Shabbos, how much of food are you over in order to get malchus, to get a skila, to get whatever the chatas is? So you have to have a certain shear. Even chatzi shear is awesome in the Torah. You're not like carry out one Rice Krispie, but you need to carry out a certain amount of Rice Krispies to be chayav, so you have to carry out a grogeris' worth, a dried fig. That's the shear for human food on Shabbos that's considered significant, that if you carry it, you're going to be chayav for carrying. Rimon, a pomegranate, it's not. That has to do with kalim utensils. At what point do they no longer have the status of utensils? If they were tameh, or to accept tumah, or that they lose their tumah, if they're broken. So what's the definition of broken shear? So Rashi points out, a guy selling pots can't sell you pots with holes in it. He won't make any business. Nobody's going to buy a pot with a hole in it. But if you have a pot, and it gets a hole in it, you don't throw it away so quickly. So it depends. These are Rashi explains, the Beis Yosef brings down, that this is all talking about over here, Tosis at the bottom says, Gabe Kli Eitz Misnaya, and the Beis Yosef brings down, this could also be for other kelim as well, but in any event, so you have a wooden pot, you have a wooden container of some sort. So if it has holes in it, you can't put soup in it. Okay, but if it's your private one, okay, I won't put soup in it, now I'll put in it nuts. Okay, can't put nuts in it anymore, now I'll put in it something bigger than nuts. I'll put in apples. I can't hold apples anymore, I'll put in all the way up to pomegranates. But if it can't even hold the pomegranates, then even the balabais throws it away. Therefore, that's considered broken. Ditnan. So now we see. It says over here, Kol Kli Balibatim. Balabais doesn't throw away his stuff so fast. Shiur and Kirimonim. He won't throw it away until it has a hole in it the size of a rimon. So therefore, that's a din that you need to know in regards to Tumah and Tara. Fine. Erez Eishemen. What about the olives? Amar Rav Yosi Rav Chanina. Erez Shekol Shiurel Kizayisim. The land that all of the Shiurim are Kizayis. He says, what? Kol shira soka daita? You just told me a whole bunch of other shirim. You told me chita, sara. So what do you mean? So Gemara says, you're right. Vayika, hanach, what about all the ones that we just said, the amoron? El Gemara says, Eloi, you're right. El eretz, shirov, shirov, kizayis. Most of the, kizayis, 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 kizayis. We have throughout Shas, throughout halacha, kizayis. So yeah, most things are kizayis. So that's what we need the zayis to tell us, the shirov of kizayis. Divash, date, honey, kiksof, seven, gasmi, yom kippur. The amount that you have to eat on Yom Kippur to be over, Inoy, you're no longer afflicted, is a different shear than a grogeris. It's a different shear than a kezayis. It's the amount that you have to eat in order to remove some of your affliction. Is like this over here, kosevis agasa, this large date over here. So if you eat that much on Yom Kippur, then you're chayiv over here. You get malchus, you get karis, etc. You'd be chayiv in that situation. Less than that, chatzi shear is awesome in the Torah. You're not allowed to eat anything, but you wouldn't be chayiv the penalties that we can give out, or that you bring a chatas, if you ate less than a chatzis shi, you have to eat the full shi to get the penalties. So that's what we need this pasuk for. Therefore, we don't have it to tell me you make an eitz ahead of Adama. Gemara says, "Nu v'idach." The other man, the Adama, he also learns that every one of these dinim. So they use it for kedima. So what do you use this pasuk for? He says, "Ani shiurim behedya miksivi." He says, "None of these shiurim are in the pasuk." It says, "Eretz chita sorry gefen." It doesn't say any of these shiurim. So all of these elamid rabbanim, that's the gears that we have. The Gemara says on the side, in Erevin and Sukkah, it says, Elahilchus aninu. It means this is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. It's not the rabbanim. This is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And the psukim across smach to be amon. The rabbi said, how do we remember the Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim using this pasuk? But that's not the purpose of the pasuk. The purpose of the pasuk is to tell me kedima, that wheat comes ahead of barley in terms of brachos. They both come ahead of vines, grapes, in terms of the kedima of the brachos. Others I saw Shalta Shlita, I think, brought down the Maritz Chayitz over here, and he says that it's, instead of Midraban, an Elami Drosha. It was like an abbreviation over here, and the printer made it Midraban, and it should have been Midrasha. Okay.
Does that mean it's the right
term? No, they're not clear what that would mean, but it doesn't mean that it's the real source over here. This is a drasha that they use over here, but it's not the primary it's purpose of the pasuk. Like in Asmachta. Yeah.
This all comes out so confusing.
Why?
This all comes out so confusing. What brachos to make? It seems the rabbis should come up with something that would not be so complicated.
So the rabbis have come up. It's called Shulchan Aruch. It says clearly exactly what you're supposed to do in every one of these situations. But we do have machlokas on these things. These are competing principles. You have two principles over here. So which principle trumps? Which principle is the principle that you blame it on Trump? So it's the two competing principles. So we have to know what the rules are. That, you're right. It's complicated, very complicated, but it's very beautiful. Okay. They were sitting down. Now, your question. They were sitting down over here. So they brought in front of them tamarim. They brought in front of them dates and rimonim and pomegranates. Now, which one comes first in the pasuk? Okay? Look at the pasuk. Okay? Eretz, you have over here. Chita, Sora, Geffen, Tena, Rimon. Ah, Rimon is number 5. 6 is olives. 7 is vash. So it's 5 versus 7. You're telling me, Kedima, 5 comes ahead of 7. So they brought in front of them number 7, Tamarim, Davash, and number 5, Rimonim. Shaka Rav Amuna Baruch Atamrei Bereisha. He grabbed, took the number 7 ahead of number 5. Now they're eating both. Again, if you're not eating both, none of these rules apply. They're eating both. They brought out a fruit plate, and he says, He took Aresha, he took it first, and he potted the others. That's how many understand the Aresha over here. Others say that he took it first. He was the first one to take it. That's what it means, Aresha. But he took the Tamar first. So Rav Chista questioned him. Whoa, don't you hold this drasha we just learned? Amalei Rav Chista. Lo Siru Leimar, doesn't the master hold? Rav Chista held that Rav Amnuna was his Rebbe. That's why he took first, Mistama. And he said, doesn't the Rebbe hold? Lo Siru Leimar, Lohod Amar Rav Yosef, Yitim Rav Yitzel, Kalamuktim, Pasuk, Zeh, Kodim, Lebracha. Don't you hold that number 5 should have gone before number 7? Don't you hold this din? He says, yeah, I hold that din very much, but you don't understand the din. Let me explain to you the din. Amalei, Zeh Sheni Lo Aretz, says, depends where you are in relation to the word aretz. So he's number 5 to aretz number 1. The other one is number 2 to aretz number 2. 2 is greater than 5. 2 is precedence to 5. Because you look at it from the word aretz. And he tells him, I'll tell you a beautiful thing in a second. I'm like, man yod le nagri de parzala. Listen to this. He says, I wish I had bionic legs. I wish I had over here steel iron legs that I could follow you around everywhere. Because, wow, what a pshat you just gave me over here. Now, why is it such a pshat? And why don't we just list them in the order? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Instead of having 2 times Eretz. And Tosus points out, what happens if it's a tie? If you're number 1 to the first Eretz, you're number 1 to the second Eretz. So Tosus brings down, then you go by the first Eretz. So your number, and then there are different posts can say, is it are they equal? If you're number 3 to the first Eretz and you're number 2 to the second Eretz, are you giving priority to number 2 to the second Eretz or number 3 to the first Eretz? So you have all discussions over here about the priority. Why do we dash in this over here? So the Mefarshim explain over here beautifully. If you just wrote down Eretz, Chita, Sora, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know what people would have said? You can't learn anything from the priority. Because the Torah, Shomer v'zocha, b'dibur echad, we don't say, Chita, Sora, Geffen, Tena, all said, b'dibur echad. So, God gave us the Torah. And he said over here, I'm giving you 7 species that Eretz Yisrael is blessed for. Here they are. I got to say one of them number 1. I got to say one of them number 2. But don't learn anything out from the order. So that's why Bedavki said, I want you to learn out from the order. How do I teach you that? By putting in a second unnecessary Eretz. You didn't need the word Eretz the second time. Ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the Eretz the second time so we could have the Tei's Daf. So that we could have this drasha over here. And therefore, we have this somewhat complicated, complex drasha over here as to the hierarchy. So 1 from 1 takes precedence to 1 from 2, from the second Eretz. And then, number two, where does that fall in? Number three, where does that fall in? That's the purpose of having the second eretz in the pasuk. Beautiful part. Weiter. Itmar. They bring in front of them two of the species of the zayiminim. They bring in front of them figs and grapes. B'sol chasuda, in the middle of the meal. Now, middle of the meal, so that already starts bringing up. What about they washed? It's a suda. They say they bring it to them b'sol chasuda. That means they had a suda. That means that they washed. So ravuna. Tunim brach levneim, they tunim brach lachrein. This isn't part of the meal. And you have to make a bracha beforehand, but the benching afterwards can pater the bracha achrona that you'd have to make an ala eitz on grapes or on figs. You got to make a bracha before, you don't have to make a bracha afterwards, because it's not part of the meal. Right? Yeah, the potatoes are part of the meal. The french fries are part of the meal. You know, the peas are part of the meal. They bring out an apple, that's not part of the meal. And therefore, you have to make a separate bracha on the grapes or the figs. That's the first opinion over here. Rav Sheish Zamar, not only that, tunim bracha bein lefneim, bein lachreim. You got to make a separate bracha afterwards. Benching doesn't part to them. She'en lecha davi shetan bracha lefanav, bein tan bracha liachru. Because how can you say it needs a bracha before and the bread doesn't part to it? So then the benching doesn't part to it either. It's a separate entity. You're benching on the meal. This isn't part of the meal. So you need a bracha beforehand, you need a bracha afterwards. The only thing that doesn't, by the way, there's the only exception to this rule, and here we introduce a very, very beautiful, but very, very complex discussion, halacha, elapas habo bekistin, bilvad. The only thing that doesn't require a separate bracha afterwards can be parted by the bread is pas habo bekistin. What is pas habo bekistin? So you have many, many interpretations, at least three major interpretations of what this is. So I try to simplify it in a way. So some say this is like a pie. You have the filling of the pie. And it's like a kiss. That's pasa bobe kistin. Others, like Rashi over here, say that the pasa bobe kistin is a conglomeration over here of various things. And if you look in the Rashi, he says this is normally brought after achila. Okay? And they would have over here lahavi kistin. What are kistin? Kloyos. These are various types of nuts. Lefish yofin lalev, as we learned previously, or elsewhere, they're good for the heart. The maluliba umivimimon pas shenilosh in tavlin. They bring some sort of a spiced bread afterwards, known as uvlayish. And others say they put in various other types of dishes with it, partridges, siporim, and they make it into. I'm sorry, but yesh osin also kamin siporim vilonot. They make it into different shapes over here, and the ochel davar muat. And this is like a dessert type of a thing, and they would add lots of spices and walnuts and shkedim, and they need a little bit of it. And that you make an alamichya on. So this is, it's not bread, but bread could pot to this over here. And others say it's something like a hard pretzel. So again, you have a lot of different definitions. We're not going to go more into this right now. This is possible, but kiss is the exception to the rule. Bilvat? Now, this. I'm sorry?
Exception to the rule meaning
that you could make the Birchas HaMazon afterwards with pot to it. Now, Upli the Rav Chiya. They all argue with Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya, pas poter is called mini Michael. And this is how we hold. Essentially, not 100%, but pas over here, it exempts anything that comes with the meal. And you don't make a separate bracha krona on things like that. The yayin poter called mini mashkin. And likewise, this is a very not well known halacha. You make kiddush on Shabbos, okay? You didn't wash. You're having a mezonos. You go to a kiddush, right? So you make a bar piagof and you make kiddush. Then you make a mezonos, and now you eat down the rest of the stuff. So the chalent, oh, you ready? It has barley in it. You ready to make mezonos? You don't make a bracha on the chalent. You're thirsty. You get a big glass of soda. Do you make a shahakol? No. People don't notice then. You made a bracha bar piagofen. Bar piagofen is like hamotzi. Just like on hamotzi, you don't make any brachas after it. So too, on bar piagofen, you don't make shahakols after it. Drinks. If you have only drinks, right? If you have something else, that's a shahakol. You have an egg, so then you would make a shahakol on it. I don't know, you have wine and eggs, but a little bit crazy maybe, but then you do. But if you then have a glass of soda, you have a glass of water at the kiddush, you don't make a separate bracha. Now, if you wash, you also don't make a separate bracha. Right? You have a glass of soda in the middle of the meal, you don't make a shahakol on it, you wash, you didn't have wine. But if you had wine and you didn't wash, then you don't make a shahakol on the extra stuff. So this is a very important halacha, people aren't aware of. And he says that the over here, motzi, or a bar piagofen, can pot to these other brachos. Amar Papa, how do we pass over here? Hilchusa, what's the halacha? Dvar ma bar machmas asuda, things that come as part of the meal, B'sol chasuda during the meal, ain't tunim bracha loaf, they have a lach ram. This is the halacha l'maisa. You have something, they bring out french fries in the middle of the meal, you don't make a separate bar pi adam on the french fries. That's part of the meal, because you washed. Again, because you washed. If you didn't wash, then it's not called part of the meal. It's not called the meal. It's called separate eatings of different things. V'shalom achmas asuda. And they bring something that's not part of the meal. B'sol chasuda in the middle of the meal. So they bring something that's not considered part of the meal. Then tunim bracha lefneim. Then you do have to make a bracha. If they bring something that's not considered part of the meal, certain types of fruits that they suddenly bring out, that's not part of the meal, and a little bit it's dependent upon the customs, a little bit dependent upon what's considered part of the meal. So then you don't make a bracha, a tunim bracha lefneim, then tunim bracha lefneim. You don't make a bracha afterwards, but you have to make a bracha beforehand. Liachas suda. Now this is a question, what does it mean? Some suggest over here that it means even after benching. Okay, but the normal way to understand this over here, it means before benching. Tuna bracha ben lefneim ben lachreim. Requires a separate bracha before and afterwards. The benching doesn't potter it also, because it's not part of the meal. You finished the meal. We'll discuss this a little bit more tomorrow's year. They asked the Shaila, Sholos ben Zoma, Mipnei ma'om l'dvarim ha'barim machlas asuda b'soch asuda enum tun bracha lo'vdeim v'lochreim. Why, if something's part of the meal, don't you need to make a bracha before or afterwards? So Amalem, he said, ho'el u'pas potrosim, because the bread, it's the suda, you made a bracha on the meal already, so you don't have to make multiple additional brachas. Those would be bracha she'ena tzricha, and that would be wrong. So Gemara says, "Ihachi nam yayin nami niftred pas." So why doesn't the wine get exempted by the pas also? This is why we cover up the bread on Shabbos, right? One of the reasons we cover up the bread, because the bread should be to make the bracha before the wine. So the bread is, so to say, being pushed aside. So symbolically, we want to say, bread, don't look over here. We're not pushing you aside. We don't want to embarrass the bread. And the message here is, we don't want to embarrass bread. Certainly, we shouldn't embarrass people. So you have to be very careful with that. So the wine normally would be subordinate to the bread. So he's saying, if it's really subordinate to the bread comes first. Then you make the bracha wine. If you're sitting down on a weekday meal, and you're having wine and bread, you wash first, and then you make the bar priya gofen. So the question that they're asking right now is, great, we know that the bread comes first, the wine comes afterwards. Why are you making a bracha of the wine? It's part of the meal. So Gemara says, wine is unique. Shiny yayin. Wine is unique. The goreim bracha li'atzbo. Wine makes its own bracha. In other words, Rashi says, many times we drink wine, not because we're thirsty, not because we want to have a glass of wine, because it's a bracha la kos. So at a wedding, what, they need a glass of wine up there right now? They leave them a sip, make sure it doesn't spill on the collar's dress? No, because you're making a bracha la kos. So the bar piya gofen is significant. That's why, even though you have it after the bread and it's part of the meal, the bread doesn't pot to a bar piya gofen. This is halach l'maisa. If you have a glass of wine in the meal during the week, so you make a separate bar piya gofen, even though you won't make a bracha on any other drinks that they bring out, but you make a separate bracha on that. The Gilyan Hashas says over here that it means it has its own bracha called Atova Meitiv, that it has a special, unique bracha in certain situations called Atova Meitiv. Okay, we'll stop over here. Everybody have a wonderful Shabbos. I won't be here tomorrow. I'll be giving the shiur on the tape, but Rabbi Storch will be giving the shiur for me tomorrow.